Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. The 11th annual San Francisco International Ocean Film Festival kicks off next Wednesday at the Bay Theater, Pier 39, in San Francisco. The festival will feature nearly 50 films by filmmakers from over 17 countries on a number of topics, including surfing, sharks, island cultures, and Dubai importing sand from Australia. On today's Your Call, we are talking about how storytelling about the ocean can help save it. What kinds of stories make you feel connected to the ocean and its future? Today, we're joined by Ana Blanco. She's executive director of the San Francisco International Ocean Film Fest. Ana volunteers with the Blue Water Foundation, which introduces at-risk youth to the joys and challenges of sailing on the San Francisco Bay. She pioneered the festival's first student film competition to get young people to tell their own stories about the ocean. And Ana joins us in studio. Hi, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
Nice to have you again. And we're joined by Adam Warmington. He's the filmmaker behind The Sunnydale Kids. It's a short film about inner city kids from Sunnydale who visit the ocean and surf for the very first time. The Sunnydale Kids screens on Friday at 7 p.m. as part of the surfing program. Sunnydale Kids will receive the Golden Gate Award at the Ocean Film Fest. Adam also works with micro documentaries, and he's also in studio. Hi, Adam. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. And David McGuire is a marine biologist and ocean advocate. He's founder of the ocean health and shark conservation nonprofit Sea Stewards. They're dedicated to ending shark finning and the shark fin trade. David was heavily involved in the coalition leading to the passage of the California Shark Conservation Act. David is author of the book Surviving the Shark, and he'll be moderating a panel discussion following the shark program on Sunday, March 8th at 1 o'clock. David is also featured in one of the films at this year's festival, the world premiere of Extinction Soup, which is about shark fin soup. Hey, David, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rose. Great to be on your call. I love your show.
Oh, thank you. Well, thanks for joining us, and you're doing such great work on sharks. So, Ana, I want to start off with you. What really is exciting you about this film festival? It's been 11 years, and oceans are getting so much more attention now in the national conversation.
Yes, they are. In fact, there's quite a number of new programs this year in the festival. For the first time, we have an entire program dedicated to films on whales.
Oh.
And that's very exciting. On Sunday, we have a new program dedicated entirely to deep sea diving. And that's at 1 o'clock on Sunday. We have a panel discussion following that one at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So we realized that there was a topic of conversation about diving, about exploring the depths of the ocean, and we wanted to bring that to the big screen.
Well, what is exciting you just about the power of telling stories to get people active about the ocean? Because there's been so much attention about shark fin soup in California. Later in the show, we'll talk about the power of the cove mm-hmm. and blackfish, which is just completely taken off like wildfire. Mm-hmm. So what's different? What do you think really works?
You know, it's interesting because there are so many stories that can be told. And in the festival, you'll find films that are of all different genres, whether it's animation, documentaries, a narrative. And they come in all different lengths, you know, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, up to about 55 minutes. And in every film, there is a story. It's a story about what might be happening around the world with a particular issue of overfishing or of another topic. And there's just the power of storytelling really gets people into the subject matter, and it tells them that they have the power to do something and to make a change.
David, what would you add to that? I mean, the film festival is so incredible, and every year there are so many programs about sharks. They almost always sell out. So in terms of your passion, sharks, what really gets people to act and realize that this is such a serious issue?
Well, I think that was really well said by Ana. You know, filmmakers want to tell a story, and some of us, like myself, actually want to use the power of film to advocate or motivate people to change what's happening, especially in the light of the ocean crisis that we're experiencing through overfishing, loss of coral reefs, ocean acidification. There are any number of issues that need to be explained, but we can tell it through film in an exciting way, in a compelling way, in an adventurous way that maybe doesn't necessarily hit you over the head, although I think that's important as well. This is my ninth year at the festival, and I joined the festival when I made my first film, Shark Stewards, to advocate for stopping the sale and trade of shark fin soup because of shark finning. And 7 years later, we did it in California and now seven other states. So I think film, you know, it really is something that can spread worldwide, especially now with new technology. It's easier to make a film. It's easier to tell your story. And it's easier to get your message across to a lot more people through social media. But it's still important to sit in a theater and really experience the beauty of a story or film and just visualization, just to sit there and maybe dive into the ocean without getting wet. And that's what's great about the ocean film.
Yeah, I like Good that point. A lot. Adam, your film, The Sunnydale Kids, is about just under 5 minutes, but such a powerful film. I loved it so much. A short film about inner city kids from Sunnydale. Sunnydale's about 5 minutes from our studio.
Yeah, it's right around the corner.
Yeah. And it just made me realize you focus on the kids who live in the projects. We'll play a clip in just a couple minutes. But who talk about how they hear gunfire on a regular basis, and it's mayhem, in their words. And the film follows them as they go to the ocean for the very first time. The ocean's about a 40-minute drive from Sunnydale, and they surf. But wow, what power your film has in under 5 minutes.
Thanks, yeah. I mean, it's just about providing access to the ocean to these kids. I mean, Ian, who runs the surf camp, takes out kids from Marin in the summertime, and that's all fair and well, and that's a paid service. But, you know, there are tons of kids like these kids in Sunnydale that never have any access like that. So, you know, he really wanted to give them that opportunity. And like you said, it's a half-hour drive away, and half of them have probably never been there. Mm. And it's very simple. It's just about play. You know, it's just about, you know, we meet these kids and we see the kind of life they're living, you know, and it's a little bleak. And so, you know, just giving them that opportunity to splash around and smile and laugh with their friends is invaluable.
When I watched it, I really wanted more. But at the same time, 5 minutes is doable for a lot of people. Can you talk about the power of such a short film?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this we could have got, you know, it could be a 20-minute or a feature film where we delve into the social economic issues in Sunnydale, and then, you know, as the narrative continues, like what they get from surfing, et cetera, et cetera, and we can speak to professors and experts, but like that was never my intention with this. It was just to create a feeling. I mean, this thing already existed. The Ian and Tim, who works with the kids down in the Boys and Girls Club in Sunnydale, had already put this movement together. It was already happening organically. All I wanted to do is just shine a light on it and let the viewer just kind of experience it for a moment and have a feeling and then potentially act on that feeling.
And again, the Sunnydale Kids will premiere on Friday, March 7th at 7 p.m. as part of the surfing program at the San Francisco Ocean Film Festival. And there's a team of people who look at all the films, and then you have to decide, which I'm sure is really difficult. Mm-hmm. What really struck you about the films that were entered this year?
Well, we had about 120 submissions this year, and they come obviously from all over the world. What we're finding this year is that the quality of the films is so much better. Mm. A lot of that has to do with the technology that's being used. We're also finding that the filmmakers are they're getting really passionate about what they're doing. I think the content of the films is deeper. There's a deeper sense of understanding in trying to tell a better story. And the broadness of the topics. Sometimes we'll see a lot of films on plastics in the ocean. Sometimes we'll see other films about overfishing and climate change. But now I think we're seeing a broader perspective and a broader topic range of films that relate to the ocean.
What do you think explains that?
I think that people are noticing that the power of film to tell a story about what might be happening in the ocean is clicking with a lot of filmmakers. I think filmmakers hear about film festivals like ours that are topic related, that are a specific niche, and they realize there are so many stories that could be told, and they decide to pick one particular topic and then make a film about it and bring it to the big screen. And I think most of the filmmakers who do this come away from it feeling really energized and really jazzed about trying to tell their story in an area that they probably would have never thought about otherwise, the ocean.
And how is social media and just the quick delivery of these films changing things? Because I mean, you have there, we have access to so much information now. And a lot of these films, I mean, some of them are also available online.
Some of them are available online. Some of them, I think, don't get to be in social media as well. But with the power of Facebook and Twitter, we have so many people around the world connected to the film festival. We will tweet about a film or a filmmaker, and then they will spread it out to their network. So the amount of conversation that's happening about a particular subject matter in a film is just exponential.
I want to ask all of you quickly about The Cove and Blackfish, because those films have just, they've just taken off like wildfire. The Cove is about the dolphin slaughter that's happening in Taiji, which is actually going to end at the end of February, finally. But they had one of their worst seasons. It's about, I believe, 3 months of slaughtering dolphins in Taiji. And then Blackfish is about captive orcas at SeaWorld. And a number of former trainers speak out and say they regretted what they did. And this should not take place. Captive orcas should not, they should not be held captive and kidnapped from the ocean. What's amazing about this is CNN is showing Blackfish over and over and over again. And it's just, it's been amazing to watch. Anna, can you talk, can you talk about the power of what happens when something like that gets so much publicity?
Yes. What's happening is we're seeing a lot of feedback, a lot of people are commenting about Blackfish, and I think if it wasn't for the grand exposure that something like that film is getting, a lot of people wouldn't even know what had happened at SeaWorld. They wouldn't have any clue about what is happening. So to be able to take a film like that and to take it to a broader audience is really helps the message, really helps, at the end of the day, the marine life that we're trying to protect. And The Cove, incidentally, premiered at the Ocean Film Festival many, many years
right,
ago,
before
it got to the big screen. So that's kind of our pride and joy. But again, people continue to talk about The Cove. They will forever talk about The Cove. And it just has such a lasting impression on people when they see what's happening in places like SeaWorld. And it never leaves you. I have so many people who come up to me and they've seen a film in the film festival and they will continue to talk about it 3 years later, 4 years later. They're like, wow, I'll never forget that film. And that's the beauty of what we do. We know that the films have an impact, and we know that people will carry that story to other people that they know, whether it's through social media, whether it's sitting around at a coffee table. Those stories will continue to be told over and over and over again.
David, I'm curious to hear what you think about the popularity of The Cove and Blackfish, especially as it just airs nonstop on CNN and so many people have seen it. I mean, if you go to Twitter and just type in Blackfish, it's amazing to read the messages.
Well, you know, as a filmmaker with a message, I'm jealous. I think it's both are very compelling stories, personal stories. I mean, I know Luis Solis and Rico Berry is with Earth Island right next door to me. That's one of our projects, is with the Earth Island Institute, the Save Japan Dolphin Project. And Luis just followed this kind of crazy advocate around, and being a photographer and a storyteller, he told a really compelling story and opened the world's eyes to this massacre of dolphins. And just like Blackfish, with what's going on behind the scenes with the marine mammals at SeaWorld. So I think it's wonderful. It's fantastic. I mean, it's incredible if you can get the funds to make a film like that and get it out there to a million or hundreds of millions of eyes. That's how you make change. People become outraged that it's not right to keep some of these marine mammals in captivity. It's cruel. They're not smiling and happy, or these dolphins are being killed or they're being caught for dolphinariums for people's enjoyment. And so bringing these issues to the fore, whether they're uncomfortable or comfortable, I think is increasingly necessary when it comes to the ocean. And I certainly applaud the filmmakers who make films like that.
And I understand there's a similar film at this year's Ocean Film Festival.
Yes, it's part of the Whales program, which takes place on Saturday at 4 o'clock. It's titled A Day in the Life of Lolita, the Performing Orca. It's the world premiere film made by Daniel Azarian, and he's going to be in attendance. And it talks about the story of Lolita in Marineland, which is in Miami. And Dr. Ingrid Visser, who I think a lot of people know as being a world-class researcher in New Zealand who's trying to save orcas, is the shows up in the film and talks about the issue of Lolita in Marineland and how long Lolita has been in captivity, almost as a puppet and the parody of an orca in the substandard conditions that Lolita lives in. So, again, another one that raises awareness about how we treat our marine life in these types of institutions.
And, again, that's Saturday at 4 o'clock. Next Saturday, that's March 8th.
Yes.
And that is Anna Blanco. She's executive director of the San Francisco International Ocean Film Fest, which kicks off next Wednesday with a gala event. And then the films are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday. And you can find ticket information at yourcallradio.org. The films will be shown at Pier 39 in San Francisco. We're also joined by David McGuire, marine biologist and ocean advocate. He's the founder of Sea Stewards, an organization dedicated to ending shark finning and the shark fin trade. David will be moderating a panel discussion following the shark program on Saturday, March 8th at 1 o'clock. He's also featured in the film Extinction Soup. It'll be the world premiere, and it's about shark fin soup. David was heavily involved in the coalition leading to the passage of the California Shark Conservation Act. Adam Warmington is the filmmaker behind The Sunnydale Kids, a really great short film about inner city kids from Sunnydale, about 5 minutes from our studios, who visit the ocean and surf for the very first time. And this short doc screens on Friday, March 7th at 7 p.m. as part of the surfing program. Adam also works with micro-documentaries. And we'd love to hear from you. How do you connect with the ocean? And what kinds of stories or films have gotten you motivated to be active around protecting the ocean? With the popularity of the films like The Cove, we've done a show about that actually twice now, or Blackfish, it seems like now is a really great time just to get these films out and to spread the messages about oceans, underwater life, what's happening with coastal cultures. And if you live on the coast, what marine issues are you concerned about? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org. Anna said that she meets people 3 years later who still talk about films. So if there was a film that stands out for you, we'd love to hear about it. And what was it that really grabbed you? You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. And Adam, I want to go back to your short documentary, The Sunnydale Kids, because we talk a lot about what's going on in the ocean, marine life, ocean acidification. But as you point out, the ocean can have such a dramatic effect on like kids who live in Sunnydale who've never been to the ocean. And I just want to play a clip. This is from the short film The Sunnydale Kids, which screens Friday, March 7th at 7 p.m. at the San Francisco Ocean Film Fest.
Me and my cousin Armani were riding our bikes down the hill to the little village down there. We go to the store. We both get Pop-Tarts. We hear shooting. And we go as fast as we could on our bikes. And he's telling me, go, go, go. And we just riding and riding and riding to our auntie's house. Our auntie, like, he's not going to do it. He's like, auntie's like, oh, I'm coming, I'm coming. He's like, oh, get in here, hurry up, hurry up. And then she's telling us, she sees people fall.
They're shooting, gang signs, selling drugs.
It's very scary.
I don't feel like I belong in this type of neighborhood.
Just feels like your head's gonna explode. Feel like that, cause it's just mayhem. That's it, pretty much.
And that is a clip from the Sunnydale Kids talking about this type of neighborhood, which is just 5 minutes from our station here in San Francisco. And Adam, how did you connect with these kids?
Well, there's a guy, Tim Graw, who's a local surfer and shaper here in San Francisco, who works down in Sunnydale as a social worker, and he's connected with the Boys and Girls Club. And the protagonist of the film, Ian Glover, who runs Big Dog Surf Camp in Marin, just takes kids out from Marin every week throughout the summer for a surf camp. And Ian and Tim got talking, and Ian was basically saying, you know, I'd love to take some kids that don't have that luxury to be able to pay for this service out. So those two got together, and Tim provided the kids, and Ian already had the infrastructure in place, and they just did it. And all this had happened before I had any wind of it. You know, I was just talking to Ian, and he mentioned what was happening, and I saw a great story there, and you know, all I did is, you know, rolled camera and watched it all unfold. I mean, you know, it just those guys are just doing great selfless work, you know, and it was a privilege to kind of witness it.
What was it like to spend time with these kids, talk about having to deal with gunfire and mayhem in their neighborhood, and then going out to the ocean with them for the first time, putting on a wetsuit and putting them on a surfboard?
It was amazing. I mean, like, you know, I was out of my element in Sunnydale. Like, I don't know that neighborhood. I don't know the dynamics of it. I'm a kid, you know, from England that, you know, it was mind-blowing. And, you know, down there talking to these kids and, you know, I'm not sure how old the kid in the clip, he's maybe 12, and he uses the word, like, mayhem. Mm. I mean, you know, as a kid, you know, you want to be, you know, you don't want to, that doesn't even want to be in your vocabulary unless you're talking about, like, a movie or something. And it was harrowing. There were clips I left out about, you know, even more kind of granular details about what they've witnessed. And,
like,
you know,
what?
I mean, just, you know, the one kid, well, I mean, you haven't seen the movie yet, but, you know, there's a kid who clearly has a great time at the beach. And, you know, in his interview, he talks about, you know, he's sitting in a playground next to his, I think, his cousin. And this guy walks across the, there like a basketball court, just walks across and shoots him in the head. And he just slumps down next to him. This is like a, I don't know, 10, 12-year-old kid. And he's like, he's saying over the coming, like, days and weeks, he was, like, seeing things in the night and just, like, just crazy stuff, right? So anyway, It was just nice to take them out for a day at the beach. I mean, it seems, you know, oversimplified, and, you know, I'm not qualified to try and fix what's going on down there. And Ian speaks to that in the film. You know, we're not those people. Tim's that kind of person doing real work, you know, to try and.
Well, it's amazing to watch them put on the bodysuit and then just jump in the water, and they just jump in the waves and they learn how to surf.
Yeah, they forget about it. Well, mayhem is stricken from their vocabulary at that point. You know, they're just.
What was it like for you to watch the transformation?
It was night and day. I mean, you know, that's the power of the narrative in this short film is you go from absolute bleak kind of, you know, I mean, you heard in that clip, it's not a fun environment to just. You know, we were at Muir Beach, it was sunny, you know, these kids are in wetsuits, like, you know, to have a bonfire, went out for ice cream. It's just like, you know, at-risk kids might not have as much access to that kind of a kind of flippant lifestyle as, you know, other kids. So it was just really rewarding to kind of be part of that process.
What's happening with these kids now? Are they still surfing with Ian?
Yeah, Ian's program is still going on. You know, we've kind of formed an entity called Ripple Effect, Tim, Ian and I, funneling some limited funds that have been raised through awareness of the film, and we're not sure what we're going to do with that yet. We might donate some equipment to the Boys and Girls Club, or try and set up a program in another part of the state or something. But yeah, I mean, Ian's got the coaches, he's got the surfboards, he's got the beach access, he has the infrastructure built, and you know, it's just, you know, we're just filling the gap. You know, if there's time and space, we, you know, calls up Tim, gets a group of kids together, and does it all again. Hmm. It's awesome.
I think it would be amazing for you to have a feature film about these kids and just talk about what they're dealing with in Sunnydale, and then what their life, how surfing and how being introduced to the ocean has affected them.
Yeah, it's definitely in the back of my mind. It's definitely in the back of my mind. We could go a lot more granular and get a lot more detailed about this whole thing. Mm-hmm. You know, for this was always going to be a short film. You know, I was doing it through micro documentaries, make short documentaries. And I just wanted to create a feeling, just a little moment in time.
Well, you definitely did. I mean, it's under 5 minutes, but it's so powerful. That is Adam Warmington. He's the filmmaker behind The Sunnydale Kids, a short film about inner city kids from Sunnydale, about 5 minutes from us, who visit the ocean and surf for the first time. It'll screen at the Ocean Film Fest Friday, March 7th at 7 p.m. And we'd love to hear from you. What sorts of films about the ocean have really grabbed your attention and have gotten you to act? This is Your Call. We'll be back after this.
Listening to Your Call here on KALW 91.7 FM, local public radio. To join in today's conversation, the number to call is 798-8255, 866-798-8255, 866-798-TALK. It's a toll-free call. If you'd rather write than call, the email address is feedback@yourcallradio.org. Coming up at 11 from the BBC, it's World Have Your Say. Stay tuned.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, it's our Friday Media Roundtable, and we'll spend the hour with The Guardian's foreign correspondent, Luke Harding, and we'll talk about his new book, The Snowden Files, the inside story of the world's most wanted man. We'll also discuss media coverage of Ukraine's changing political landscape in the aftermath of the bloody crackdown on protests, which led to the ouster of President Viktor Yanukovych. That's tomorrow. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about the 11th annual San Francisco International Ocean Film Festival. It kicks off next Wednesday at the Bay Theater, Pier 39 in San Francisco. So many films focusing on a number of issues, including surfing, sharks, island culture, a really interesting film about sand and how there's, well, a lot of people think that it's just there's a finite supply of sand, but that's not true. Dubai is now importing sand from Australia, and we'll talk about that in the next couple of minutes. Today we're joined by Anna Blanco, Executive Director of the San Francisco International Ocean Film Festival. Anna volunteers with the Blue Water Foundation, which introduces at-risk youth to the joys and challenges of sailing in the San Francisco Bay. Adam Warmington is the filmmaker behind The Sunnydale Kids, a short film about inner-city kids from Sunnydale who visit the ocean for the first time and learn to surf. The Sunnydale Kids screens Friday, March 7th at 7 p.m. as part of the surfing program. Adam is working with micro-documentaries. And David McGuire is founder of Sea Stewards, an organization dedicated to ending shark finning and the shark fin trade. David was instrumental in leading to the passage of the California Shark Conservation Act. He'll be moderating a panel discussion following the shark program on Saturday, March 8th at 1 o'clock. And we'd love to hear from you. How do you connect with the ocean? What kinds of stories or films have gotten you motivated to be active around protecting the ocean? And if you live on the coast, and I know many of you do, what marine issues are you concerned about? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. Anna, what's really great about the Sunnydale Kids is when you think about the Ocean Film Fest, what comes to mind is protecting sharks, which obviously is very important, or ocean acidification. But Adam's film proves that the ocean is about so many issues, including human interest issues.
Yes, and it does. There are a number of films in the film festival this year that also deal with human interest stories, how we as humans interact with the ocean. We feel very lucky to have Adam's film. And also just some of the other ones. There's a really great one from Canada called 28 Feet, Life on a Little Wooden Boat. And again, it's the world premiere. It's barely 9 minutes long, but it really touched me in a way that talks about how we interact with the ocean. It's about a seafarer who decides to just go out on an adventure on a boat and just get rid of all the luxuries that life has to offer and just meander for 28 days on a boat. And it's beautiful cinematography. It really does tell his story about how he disconnects from the world and how the ocean provides him so much serenity. There's a number of films like that. And so I think that's the beauty of the film festival with 11 programs, 5 days. There's something for everybody in terms of if you're interested in diving or whales or interesting stories about people and what they do with the ocean.
What else really struck you when it comes to human interest stories?
You know, there's a couple that I could talk some more about. There's one in the diving program, which is called Hyena Women of the Sea. And it's about an 82-year-old woman who is living on an island in South Korea. And she has been free diving with no equipment for many, many years. And it talks about her and her friends and how it's their ritual and what it does for their sense of well-being to have this ritual that they've been doing for years of just diving, what they collect, and how meaningful that is for them, and that is their life. And it's beautifully done. It's a fabulous film.
And when is that showing?
That's showing on Sunday, March 9th at 1 o'clock during the diving program.
Okay. And you wanted to jump in there, Adam.
Yeah. I think the interesting thing about looking at the ocean as a human interest issue is that, you know, its fate lies in our hands, right? And that's what's I mean, that's why we care. If left alone, the ocean would be just fine. But all the issues surrounding it, overfishing, etc., are issues that we've caused and therefore have the obligation to tidy up. So I think that intersection between human interest and, you know, ocean kind of stories is fascinating.
Have you done many films about the ocean before?
You know, I haven't really, which is crazy because, I've surfed for 20 years and I spent half my life in the ocean.
Mm-hmm. What's it been like for you to be involved in this process, in this festival?
It's awesome. I was, I kind of submitted on a whim, to be honest, with, they've had some very high-profile films in the past, The Cove being one example, and, when I got the email saying I've been, and then subsequently had won the Golden Gate Award, which is for a local filmmaker, and I'm from England, but I've been here long enough that's all right. I'm stoked. It's been a really, really great process, and I can't wait for next week.
And how do you decide whether or not to make the film available to people online so more people can see it?
Well, for me, it's all about just getting eyeballs on it to potentially raise funds and just shine a light on an issue. So, I actually did a very kind of very easy outreach. I approached bloggers, I approached surfing bloggers and news organizations, and a lot of people responded to it. So, a lot of people saw it and online. But, I mean, of course, we're here talking about the Ocean Film Festival. It's great to see it on the big screen, when you're there and you can, the sounds, but it's just, it's,
yeah.
It's
the other thing I love about the festival is that most of the filmmakers are in attendance. Mm-hmm. And very excited to talk about these issues. There's always panel discussions. It's just there's so much going on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have filmmakers signing up online this year. We've given them a couple of opportunities for them to interact amongst themselves. Kip Evans, our local photographer, is hosting a filmmakers workshop on Thursday. We also have an opportunity for filmmakers to go out sailing on the bay on Friday morning. So we do have a lot of filmmakers showing up. At last count, I think we had about 22.
Oh, that's great. Well, let's hear from a caller. Let's go to Paul in San Francisco. Hi, Paul. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I just had a quick question about the student films. I thought that Adam's film was really compelling when I heard about it. And how does the student film competition work, and when can those films this year be seen?
Thank you.
That's a great question. This year we have our third annual student film competition, and we had a record 42 submissions from around the world. 10 of those came from Guam, and we're screening, I believe, 4 of those. And as I was talking to Adam earlier, when you think about it, Guam is all about the ocean, and the stories that these kids want to tell is just riveting. They want to tell about plastics in the ocean. They want to talk about ocean acidification. They want to talk about what we can do to help protect the ocean. So that program is Sunday at 10:30 in the morning, and we're going to show the top 10 finalists. And they're mostly middle school and high school students. They were asked to do a film entirely on their own about the ocean in less than 5 minutes. So it's a great program. We do have the kids coming, and they take the stage, and they do their own Q&A with our MC. So it's just really interesting to see the technology that they use to create their films, as well as their stories, and the number of films that the students had that had a call to action at the end. What can you do to help protect the ocean? Hmm. I think that was probably the most surprising piece of the whole competition.
And so what are they focusing on? What do they want people to do to protect the ocean?
I think they just want people to be aware. They're at a point in their lives where they have technology, they can tell a story, but they also are very current with what's happening in the world. They know that the ocean needs to be protected, and they know that the ocean has its problems, and they know that it's people who are part of the solution to those problems. So they really want to get the message out to say, we need to do something, and we need to do something now. So not only are they talking to adults, but they're talking to their peers as well. And for them, it's just so so front and center how critical the ocean is to our livelihoods and to future generations. So to see them put it into a film and then put it on the big screen is exciting. It's exciting to see the future generation getting excited about the ocean and wanting to do something about it.
What struck you about the films that were entered by children?
How well they were done, how well they used music to incorporate into the film, and just the stories that they decided to pick. There's one local one from a student in St. Ignatius, and it's about surfing, and it's about how he connects to the ocean when he's out surfing. And it's a very simple message, but it's really something that I think a lot of us could identify, surfing or not, just how the ocean relaxes us as we go to the coast.
What about the student films from Guam? What were they about?
One of those very interesting one was the journey of a plastic bottle. So one of the students drops a plastic bottle in the garbage can, and he thinks it goes in the garbage can, but it doesn't quite make it, and he walks away. And so the film is really watching the bottle roll down the street, and then it rolls into the ocean, and then it rolls, and I won't give it away. But it's his... He's basically saying, here's what happened when you're not paying attention and when you don't recycle. That was fascinating. There's another student who did a really good film about shark finning, and he did a rap song about talking about shark finning, which was really surprising. So they had a lot of different topics. There's one about ocean acidification, where a student goes around and talks to people in a community and asks them if they know what ocean acidification is. And, you know, they're all on video, and they know they're on video. And as embarrassed as they might be to admit that they don't know what it is, they say they don't know what it is. And so the students have an opportunity to teach them what it is.
That's great. That is Ana Blanco. She's executive director of the San Francisco International Ocean Film Fest. When will these children or young people's films be shown at the festival?
They're shown on Sunday morning, March 9th at 10:30. And okay. I will make a note that they're at 10:30, not at 10, because we changed time on Saturday night.
Okay.
Sunday morning, March 9th at 10:30.
Great. And again, the festival kicks off next Wednesday at the Bay Theater, Pier 39 in San Francisco. You can find ticket information at yourcallradio.org. This is such a great festival. It features nearly 50 films by filmmakers from over 17 countries. And it is so great to see these films on the big screen, because so many of them are just so beautiful. And as I think Adam said, or Anna, you said, you can, or David actually said, you can go into the ocean when you go to this festival. And unfortunately, a lot of people aren't able to go into the ocean for obvious reasons, but that's what's great about the festival, is you can see what it's like to be underwater. So be sure to check out information at yourcallradio.org. Adam Warmington is the filmmaker behind The Sunnydale Kids, a short film about inner city kids from the Sunnydale neighborhood in San Francisco, about 5 minutes from our studio, who visit the ocean and surf for the first time. It's screening Friday, March 7th at 7 p.m. as part of the surfing program. And David McGuire is founder of the nonprofit Sea Stewards, an organization dedicated to ending shark finning and the shark fin trade. David will be moderating a panel discussing the shark program on Saturday, March 8th at 1 o'clock. He's also featured in one of the films, Extinction Soup. And David, you were instrumental in leading to the passage of the California Shark Conservation Act. And I wanted to ask you about that, because the Wall Street Journal has a piece today, I believe, called Shark Fin Bans Hard to Police. Officials must contend with a growing list of laws to enforce. And they point out that shark fins sold for up to $500 a pound here in California before the ban went into full effect. And the lead says, on a recent morning in the city's bustling Chinatown, a state wildlife official peeked into plastic bags filled with live bullfrogs and glass jars stuffed with dried abalone at various sharks, searching for illicit shark fins. There were none to be found. So can you give us an update? What is it like to enforce this law now in California?
Well, fortunately, there was an enforcement action just recently in San Francisco by our fish and wildlife officials who got a tip that shark fin soup was being sold at a restaurant in Emeryville, and they traced it back to a dried seafood trader and discovered 2,000 pounds, and he was cited. And so enforcement is always a problem, whether it be a marine protected area, overfishing, or trying to regulate a product. But it's easier to regulate a product than it is to try to enforce shark finning on the high seas, where we have a vast ocean. We have very few helicopters or ships out there to try to protect marine wildlife. So I think we have to try to protect trade or regulate trade as much as we can, as well as trying to restrict some of these abhorrent overfishing practices.
We had a caller, Ken, who couldn't stand the line. He says, are the shark fin penalties strong enough to discourage the trade?
No, they're not. And in order to get the legislation passed, there's a lot of horse trading. And the assembly persons decided that they would start out with light fines because, really, you don't want to penalize the small mom-and-pop restaurateur who's honest and just wants to make a living. You really want to get these people who are importing large amounts or re-exporting fins that come in from Costa Rica or Galapagos or Mexico that have been illegally finned and that were going through our ports legally, to Hong Kong or China. So by restricting that trade, we're protecting sharks internationally as well as domestically. The fines should be higher, and I'm hoping that we will put a lot of pressure on this one case in San Francisco to make sure that he's not just slapped on the wrist, and we'll continue to watchdog him. We'll be filming, we'll be going to restaurants. We're not going to let this just drop and just because there's a law in the book.
David, you're featured in one of the films at this year's festival, the world premiere of Extinction Soup. It exposes the mass slaughter of sharks for their fins and the movement to stop us. Can you talk a little bit about this film and then just the power of raising an issue like this through film?
Well, Extinction Soup is kind of a personal story. It's a journey. It's almost a hero's quest, if you will. And so it has that compelling storytelling drama in it. And it's about a group of people who really discover they love sharks in Hawaii, and also Philip Waller, the director in Los Angeles, and then realizes, as many of us have, how serious this overfishing or killing of sharks just for their fins is worldwide. And so he investigates the story, and much as I did 9 years ago in our film and subsequent films, you follow the trail, if you will, and the story tells itself. And that's the beauty of filmmaking, is in a real-world sense, or documentary, is that stories happen, but not always as you anticipate them. So Extinction Soup really follows the Hawaii shark fin bill in the passage, and also with some real heroes that I've worked with here in California and other states, Stephanie Brendel, who will be at the festival. Phil's going to be up for the premiere on March 8th. And the film itself is I think, compelling. It's great to see a lot of short films like Adam's. I think a lot of films that we watch for the festival are too long. You can have a really short, powerful message, but it's nice to have a feature film, too, to kind of anchor and to kind of draw you into the drama, and that's what a real film is about. So I'm excited to be involved with the premiere, and yeah, I have a little bit of a part, and I'm helping to promote the film and hoping that it will get that message out worldwide. There's also a film I'm involved with. I was in Malaysia, and we're working to create shark sanctuaries. Mm. So our group now, Shark Stewards with Earth Island Institute, is promoting marine protected areas that are around shark nurseries or protecting sharks and marine habitat. So I helped make this film called Semporna Shark Sanctuary that will also be having its international premiere here at the Ocean Film Festival. And there are a lot of great shorts. A friend of mine, Eric Higuera, has two short films that are beautiful called Baja and Harmony with Whales. And those stories just show the beauty of marine life without a word in it, and yet you learn through that film how wonderful these animals are, how important they are, how we should love them, and why we should protect them.
And those films will be shown on Saturday, March 8th at the festival. Extinction Soup will be the shark program at 1 o'clock, followed by a panel discussion, and David will be leading that discussion. David, you have done so much traveling around the world. What is the state of sharks right now? I mean, we can spend a whole hour on the sharks in Northern California, but what's really concerning you the most right now, and where are you seeing success stories?
Oh, God. In my lifetime, I've seen shark populations plummet. Mm-hmm. Even in the areas where I grew up, near Santa Barbara, where the blue sharks used to be everywhere, they're almost gone. And primarily because of shark finning. As many as 20 million blue sharks are killed a year in the shark fin trade. So it's really dire, especially in the large open ocean sharks, like oceanic white tips or tiger sharks or white sharks, the real big ones. There aren't very many to begin with because they're at the top of the food chain, and we're overfishing them. There are a lot of areas where sharks are gone and the ecosystem is suffering. But there are some triumphs, and these shark sanctuaries, I truly believe, are the solution. That's what we're trying to create in Semporna, Malaysia, or I was just last summer incredible diving. You'll see it in the film, Simporn Shark Sanctuary, how beautiful these sharks are, how abundant it is, and how many fish and how healthy the coral is because there are apex predators. Mm-hmm. Here in San Francisco Bay, we have a very important nursery, and we're working to help protect that habitat and large fish in the San Francisco Bay. There are a lot of triumphs along our coastline with marine protected areas that can protect larger sharks, especially, not larger sharks, sorry, larger fish or some sharks that stay in them locally. But there are problems also with sharks like a white shark that can migrate thousands of miles and cross gill nets and long lines, and we can try to protect them in our home waters, but it's very difficult out on the open ocean.
So 20 million sharks killed a year just for their fins, and their bodies are often just thrown back into the water. How many sharks could possibly be saved because of the shark fin bans that we're seeing pass?
Well, with our partners Oceana, we did an assessment, and it looks like the imports of shark fin into the United States has gone down 68% as a result of the big three, New York, California, and Hawaii. So we can make a significant difference. That's hundreds of thousands of sharks. It is a really tragic picture for the ocean, and we really need apex predators. It's not just sharks that are being overfished. It's bluefin tuna. It's swordfish. Mm. Sharks are, to me, in shark stewards, are symbols. They're symbols of a healthy ocean, what's important about the ocean, what we love about the ocean, but also what can go wrong. So they're a rallying point. There's nothing like diving with a shark. It's incredible. And we're hoping that people who are embracing sharks through ecotourism, through diving, through photography, making films, will share that wonder and how incredible it is to really be in the water with something that's so perfect that's been around for hundreds of millions of years through adaptation, evolution, and it's perfect.
David, we were talking about going to the festival and how great it is to spend a couple hours under the water without actually being under the water, but what is it like to be so close to a shark?
It's amazing. It makes you feel alive. There's nothing more stimulating to me than to be in the water and to be around a shark. It's incredible. You just feel like you're part of the world and how it works, and also you're part of the food chain, so you have to be careful. It's really stimulating. And if you can't dive with a shark, you can always go down to the Aquarium of the Bay, which is one of the big sponsors of the film festival. And I think if you buy a ticket, you can actually go into the Aquarium of the Bay and see some of our local sharks. So if you're a little bit timid about jumping in with sharks, you can actually see some of the sharks at the Aquarium of the Bay.
Do you think the pools are big enough?
I'm sorry?
Do you think the pools are big enough for those sharks?
Yeah, I think they do a pretty good job. I made a film called City of the Shark that premiered at the festival a few years ago, and I got in those tanks and dove with the sharks, and they're very healthy, and those are nice, long tanks, and they're pretty, you know, fairly small sharks. Some of the seven gills get larger, but they tag them and release them, and we've been helping them with that, trying to study some of the movements of local sharks.
And Anna, there have been films in the past about surfers working to protect sharks and to try to dispel the myth about, you know, sharks being dangerous, right? Even the creator of Jaws says that he regrets making the film. We've done a lot of shows about that. But the shark program at the festival is always so popular.
Yes, it is. And I'd like to say thanks to David for all his work in helping us put together the films as well as the panel discussion. It is one of our most popular ones. People are fascinated with sharks. People want to understand sharks and learn more about them. So this is the perfect venue for being able to do that. And the panel discussion afterwards, which is going to be at the Sea Lion Center on Pier 39, which is a new venue for the public to learn more about sea lions, is a great opportunity for people to come and carry on the conversation based on what we learn in the films.
We have a couple emails. Lynn says, in addition to Japan, there's the annual massacre of pilot whales in the Faroes. David, are you familiar with this? It's getting a lot of attention on Facebook.
Yeah, I am, and it's been going on for a long time. And fortunately, we're seeing a lot more eyes on that, and there are groups like Sea Shepherd who are out there on the ocean and watchdogging this, and I think a film like Blackfish suddenly wakes a lot of people up that it's not just Taiji, it's, you know, where that was exposed by the cove. There are these tragedies or these you know, these crimes against the ocean that are occurring all over the world, and fortunately through film, it's getting exposed. So we can actually pressure these governments to stop fishing or stop killing some of these animals needlessly.
She also writes that another program like the Sunnydale program is the Wahine Project in Monterey, and it focuses on girls surfing. Sounds great. So thank you for that. We've got just about a minute left. Final thoughts, Adam, on the power of film to create change and protect our oceans.
Oh, that's a big one. Yeah, it's exciting. I'm excited to be increasingly more involved in this kind of stuff. You know, like I said, I've been involved personally with the ocean forever, and I've been a filmmaker forever. And for some reason, those two things never really collided.
This is the beginning of new films for you.
So, you know, with an outlet like the San Francisco Ocean Film Festival, you know, I'm going to have my eye on next year and thinking about making something for next year's festival. And, yeah, very, very happy to be here. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I hope you pursue something longer with the Sunnydale kids, because I so want to know just what else those kids go through and just the changes they go through visiting the ocean. And what it's like at home when they bring it back.
Yeah, there are definitely ideas bubbling up about what next steps would be, for sure.
Great. And final thoughts, Anna, about 30 seconds?
Oh, there's so many great films, and I think each one of them has their own story to tell. I would like to acknowledge Captain Don Walsh. He's our guest speaker at the opening night gala. He's the first person to have gone down to the deepest part of the ocean, the Marianas Trench. And I think he started the dialogue of stories, and his remarks are entitled Our Oceans, The Explorers and the Storytellers. So it's a combination between those who are anxious and interested in exploring the ocean and those who are telling the story. So it's the perfect kickoff for the festival.
And again, the kickoff party is next Wednesday, and then the films will be shown on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can find ticket information at yourcallradio.org. Anna Blanco is Executive Director of the San Francisco International Ocean Film Fest. Adam Warmington is the filmmaker behind The Sunnydale Kids, screening next Friday at 7 p.m. And David McGuire is founder of Sea Stewards, an organization dedicated to ending shark finning. He'll be moderating a discussion on sharks Saturday, March 8th at 1 o'clock. He'll also be involved in Extinction Soup, the world premiere. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you, Rose.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for listening. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call. On the next Your Call, it's our Friday Media Roundtable. This week, we'll have a conversation with The Guardian's foreign correspondent, Luke Harding, about his new book, The Snowden Files, the inside story of the world's most wanted man. We'll also discuss Ukraine's changing political landscape in the aftermath of the bloody protest crackdown, which led to the ouster of President Viktor Yanukovych. Where did you see the best reporting this week? Join the conversation on the next Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter, or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Raz is on, and Ali Budner produced the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Joe Burke is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.